We are recording.
We are recording. Okay. I'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. This is November 6th meeting of the Clark County Noxious Weed Control Board. And we're set for the meeting. I'll have roll call. We got Randy Loeffler, Lee Wells, Lisa Nelski, and Bill Zimmerman, and myself, Jerry Kolke, all present, so we have a full quorum. First order of business will be the approval of the minutes from last month's meeting.
Also moved.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to adopt the minutes as presented. Any discussion on that? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye, opposed, same. Okay. Next order is hearing for appeal of civil infraction. And I'm just going to take off, it says chair, but.
Yeah, absolutely. In past, we've had it open as far as who you want to hear from first. I've printed off the historical records of our reports. Going back to 2016, this was in the email that I sent out on Friday as well. Does anybody not have a copy that wants a copy of the records?
Well, we don't have what you showed there.
Ours is landscapely, it looks like.
Same thing.
I think it's the same one, yeah.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you emailed it on Friday, we received that, we have printed copies.
Yes.
Does anybody need to go over that, or do we just need to hear from the other side? Hearing nothing?
Yeah.
The other side then.
Yep. Is that?
Is that for B&amp;B or? Is that B&amp;B?
Yes, I'm a landowner.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, my name is Maher. I am part owner of B&amp;B Investment. I have two partners with me. And this issue has been going on for years. And every year you guys called us or sent us something, we complied and we did what we had to do. In the last year, I think I've been talking to, is it Daniel? Daniel,
yeah.
We've been talking about the same issue, which is the noxious weed. And he called me at the beginning, maybe springtime, and I sent somebody over. They pulled the weed, they did all that stuff. Then he called me again at the beginning of the summer, and I called another person, and they went and they did what they were supposed to do. At the same time, you know, after COVID, it was so hard to find people to do anything. And the problem that we had is there was some seeds that dropped, and I think Justin came in and he said, you know, the seeds dropped, but you know, nobody's perfect. The guy that I sent over there, he thought he did what he was supposed to do, but he didn't do it 100%. You know, I want to add, for last year, we had to pay $22,000. I received an email, or actually a letter from you guys about the vegetation, the overgrowth vegetation, and it must be one of you guys that sent us that letter, and we paid $22,000 to clean that whole property. This year, I paid $1,100 for this person to come in and do that. So it happens every year. It's been going on for the last 5, 6, 7 years. It's not something new. And every year we comply. But whether it was 100%, whether it was done 100% right or not, that is something that, you know, these guys, they are the expert. I'm not. But the last time I had, I met with Justin and Daniel on the property, and they showed me some things that I did not know about. So now I know a little more about the weeds, and hopefully we can do more to control it. But the problem is finding people to do that kind of work. Since COVID, nobody wants to work. You know, we have, just to give you an idea, we have a small business. I am 66 years old, working 70 to 80 hours a week. Just to fill in. So it is so hard to find people that can work And last year, when we had to clean the property, it took me months to find somebody that can come in and just clear the whole property, because we had overgrowth, we had blackberries, we had everything, but it was clean. So I'm just asking, I mean, we received a $500 fine, you know, it's, I believe that, you know, we did everything we could, and on top of that, we still received the fine. It's not that we are ignoring any of that stuff, we're doing everything we can to control it.
Okay.
Doesn't the county give them a list of names that they can call to come in?
And they do, and I did, and everybody's so busy. Everybody, so busy. Everybody I called last year, it was a mess. And I wanted people to come in, everybody was so busy.
So I'll say this, is, you know, you're saying, well, this is ongoing, you did it this year, you did it the next year. Don't worry, every one of us here are farmers.
Yeah.
We know what the weeds are like, and we know that if you allow an infestation to get started, you're going to be fighting it for you know, a long time.
And we are.
And to say that, you know, that this is a frustration, we know the frustration, you bet. And you say you're 66, I know every one of us are over 70, and we're still keeping our places up and stuff. So, you know, when I look here, May 10th of 2023, you know, they said still no present sign of control. And I know, okay, yeah, it's hard getting somebody to work, but at the same time, we've had plenty of people work and everything. You just have to offer them the money, and you have to.
We did. I mean, $22,000. Is that, what do you think? Is that overpriced? What do you think?
Well, I don't think you need to spend $22,000.
And that's it.
Yeah,
that's all I can find.
Can you show us receipts for $22,000?
You know what? I did not bring the receipt. I can email you the receipt. A check for $22,500 exactly.
And I think that was to clear all the land.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this year, $1,100 for the same for the guy that did the weeds, just the weeds.
Yeah, and so when we send you the letters, in the letter it tells you specifically it's for poison hemlock.
Yes.
Or in the one case it was for tansy ragwort.
Mm-hmm.
But actually clearing off all the blackberry is actually somewhat counterproductive.
And that's what you mentioned when I met with you, yes, mm-hmm. Which I did not know.
Right, so the letter is actually pretty specific as far as which species we want mm-hmm. you to get rid of.
Yes.
So did you need to pay $22,000 to clear the land for poison hemlock, or was that for the transient problem?
It was all together. I mean, the poison hemlock was with the blackberries, with everything else. And we needed to clear that anyway because we had some homeless issues, mm-hmm. and we wanted to make sure that we get rid of that. Mm-hmm. And we boarded that house, we did everything. So hopefully that'll take care of it. And, you know, on top of that, every year we'll just have to deal with that tweed issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not saying, no, we're not going to do it. We comply every single year. But, you know, finding the right people to do it, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Were the people you hired from the list that was sent by the county?
Actually, no. Everybody I called, everybody's so busy, so I had to get somebody. Because, you know, the date that I had was not... could not get it by the date that you guys requested. Yeah.
Would the board find it helpful to hear from the field inspector that was in contact?
Yep.
Dana, if you maybe could just give a summary of your interactions and maybe what's not actually in the notes. As far as conversations and that sort of thing.
Okay. Most of what we had discussed is actually here in the notes. So basically, as the notes say, it's kind of like earlier in the year, saw it on the property. And then when I saw there was no signs of control, later sent the violation, which is when we started speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And after the first time, I did notice the landscaper did actually take down the first growth of hemlock, and then
is hemlock what we're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then later, it was regrowth is what actually went to seed later in the season. So so there was initially some work done, but some of the subsequent plants that came up, and whether from seed or regrowth, those were what went to seed. So.
And what about last year, too? Were you the inspector for last year?
Let's see here. I was the one who sent the initial warning letter, but it was Theo Sayer that was the one who sent the propagation. So,
was this communicated that's the second growth after treating it that was causing the problem?
I believe, yeah, we had discussed about that on the phone, I believe, where it was. I acknowledged that there was initial work done, yes, but it had come back.
Was there a letter or something for that?
No, that was just a phone conversation that we had shared, so.
Looks like it's documented 627.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, some pH missed and regrowth. And the reason why I ask about last year is because after the poison hemlock was not controlled last year, and the seeds dropped off to plants, we actually did send a propagation letter as well. And that letter says, you missed the boat, and these plants have gone to seed, and it's unlawful for them to do that. And it kind of confirms for you that something different needs to happen, since that was unlawful.
That letter, I did not receive.
Okay.
It said that.
Mm-hmm. We send that letter the same way that we send all the other letters.
I understand, but yeah, I did not receive that letter. Mm-hmm.
When you say same as all certified, or just send a letter?
The warning letters that we send out are not certified. The violation letters are.
Okay. Thank you.
The propagated letters are just standard.
And even with a certified letter, they go through the mail anyway. They don't need a signature. Mm. So how do I know that, you know?
Well, that gets to he said, she said kind of thing. So.
Did you receive the other letters that we sent? The warning letter, the violation letter.
I did.
And we also send a letter at the beginning of the season that's a reminder that you heard from us the year before. Right. So there would have been three different letters before you ever talked to Daniel. Right? Daniel talked to you on several occasions.
And we did. Yeah, me and Daniel talked.
Right, right. So we know that there's a record of that you guys are having the conversation.
We're talking. I mean, and right, you know, every time he calls,
yeah.
Actually, I need to add something. In the past, one of my partners used to take care of that issue. And this last year, his wife had cancer and he was dealing with that.
Yeah.
So I didn't know whether he did it or not. Then that's when I called Daniel and I took over that project.
Yeah. Do you know if the work that was performed by your contractor, was that mechanical? So did they mow it down, or did they use herbicide?
No, they mowed it down.
They mowed it down. Okay.
Yes. And actually, he did the last time he did the herbicide, and then he waited. Then he mowed it. Yeah, that's what he did the last time. But last year, they were walking down with the blackberries and everything. And if you need to see the receipts, I do have the checks. I don't have them on me now, but I can email them to you.
How big of a parcel are we talking about?
It's a little over an acre.
A little over an acre?
1 acre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's been nothing but trouble.
And you spent $22,000 having that mowed?
To clear?
I would like
$22,500.
Yeah.
$22,500 to clear that mowing.
Yeah. Shoot. I'd drive down from North County for that.
That's right down the street. It's on 88th and
St. John's?
St. John's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Down the street. We are willing to do whatever it takes, but you know.
Have you received a fine in the past?
No. No, this is the first one. Like I said, you know, we've been dealing with this for years. It's not the first year.
Yeah, and that's correct. That's why I went back to 2016. Yeah. You can see that it has been historically sprayed, yes. And that's true.
Yeah.
2019, it was sprayed too late, and it did go to seed. And we had actually been in contact. The field inspector was SIA by water, and we had been in contact, actually spoken to the person doing the control work. So that's where, yeah, you know, your property was the one that had the most, you know, hundreds of plants of poison
yes.
hemlock.
Yes.
And more than 1 year of not controlling it. So that's where we got to.
Is there an end to the means of controlling this, or is it going to be there forever?
After something has gone to seed, like we saw in 2019, we can expect that it'll keep germinating for about 10 years. So some people find a little bit of help from pre-emergence. I've seen problems get solved with paving yeah. when the lot just gets paved over. But for acreage, especially when it's been in blackberries and there's been, you know, no mowing or anything else to replace it, yeah, 10 years.
And you said it's 1 acre.
It's a little over an acre, yeah.
About an acre. And what's the purpose of the acre? What?
Well, you know, we bought it. I had the two partners come to me and say, this is going to be a, you know, great investment. Mm-hmm. We put the money in it. It's the worst investment I've ever had.
That's 88th and St. John's?
88th and St. John's. It's got that old house on it, and we've ordered everything. We had the homeless issue, and we took care of that. We had the overgreen. The overgrowth of the vegetation, we took care of that. It's been nothing but trouble.
That the southeast corner?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Southeast, yes.
Yeah.
Second parcel in?
Yes.
Yep. Second parcel?
Yep.
Yeah. I know right where it's at. Yeah. Well, yeah. I see where you cleaned it all out.
Mm-hmm. We did, but you know, yeah. We have to do that every year in order to keep it like that. Mm-hmm.
You need a good herbicide sprayer to go in there and spray it and get rid of the blackberries too.
Yeah.
There's product out there. You can get a, we had an infestation down on Lake River of blackberries, probably 30-35% of the fields. We sprayed it a year ago. We had probably 5% this year.
Almost
killed them all.
What herbicide did you use?
My chemical man done it. I don't know. I know I can get the product, but it worked. Unbelievable what it done.
Is it helpful to see pictures?
Sure.
Okay. We've got some. There's the first one to pass around.
Since 2019, have there been improvements from what you've been able to see?
So from 2019, that was SIA. Yeah, was SIA. It used to be a used car lot, so a lot of the area is paved, but the pavement is cracked and not maintained now. The area that's directly east from the house has been actually getting worse. Yeah, since it went to seed in 2019, it's been getting worse. So when it's been controlled in 2020 and 2021. Then that exhausted some of the seed bank, but it's just a fraction, you know, maybe a tenth every year or something.
So it's a slight improvement for a really difficult invasive plant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but at this point, it was hundreds of plants just east of the house.
Sorry.
So on a 1 acre lot, it's hundreds of plants. You can zoom in too if that's helpful. And actually the plants are spread out over those three different parcels.
And they are.
Yeah. And so technically, the law allows for $500 fine per parcel, per weed species, per day after the violation expires. So $500 is expensive. It could have been a lot more expensive.
So Justin, is there actually three parcels involved here?
Yes.
Not just one?
That's correct. Yep. I wrote one fine because I knew that we needed to have more conversations after the propagated letter wasn't answered last year. And your contractor was out several times, but still didn't get the control we needed. Something else had to be done.
You can talk to me since my other partner's not available, so I'll be dealing with it from this point on.
Okay.
What things do you plan to change from here going forward?
I need your advice. I mean, I thought I was doing the right thing, but you know, if we can spray it, if you can find me somebody that can actually do the job properly, you know, what is the best time to do it? Is it springtime? Spray it? When do you spray it? Springtime?
Yeah. Anytime the plants are actively growing, you actually have a lot of flexibility.
Yeah. And that's you know, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I don't want to waste your time and my time. It's something that, you know, we've done everything we could in the past, and I thought we did it right, but it's obvious that we haven't done it 100%.
Yeah, I think that's why we're here, is you thought it was getting taken care of, and it wasn't. And
So we have a clear line of communication going on now. You've been talking to him.
Yep.
I presume you've given him most of that information in the several years that you, well, the last couple of years you've been dealing with it. That information.
This year I think was the bulk of the communication.
Yes.
And okay. But we have definitely talked about ways to improve control and definitely keep me in contact going forward. So.
Good. I propose
herbicide to you. Excuse me, Lisa.
No, go ahead.
What is the best herbicide to use?
Often, what I've been using is Garlon 3A when going through both in past work sites as well as currently for a lot of our work.
Good.
Almost any broadleaf herbicide will work. There's many different herbicides that would work for it.
That take out poison hemlock?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. It's actually susceptible to most everything.
Huh.
Yeah.
Once they spray, that kills that, but is other stuff going to be coming up and they're going to have
those
to spray?
Seeds, yep. Those seeds will continue to germinate, yeah.
So how many times a year would you have to spray?
I think it's the best to come back 2 times per year. Get it once in the spring and then return in the spring to make sure that you really did get all those plants that you see. They look very ferny when they first come out in the spring. And then if any of them in the summer start to bolt and grow upright, then you'll want to definitely cut those down or spray those before they're making seeds, before they're even really fully in flower. That's the best. Once they start growing 10 feet tall, if it's only an acre and their plants are approaching 10 feet tall, then you know you can't hardly miss them. Mm-hmm. They're right there. So if you return, then you'll be able to find all
so
the
plants.
So
in the summer, cut them, then spray them?
You only cut it as a last resort. If the flowers are fading and the seeds are just starting to form, that's when you need to cut it, bag it up, put it in trash bags. I mean, this is in our notes as far as what we told you to do. Mm-hmm. It says, May 26th of this year, you were advised seed heads would need to be cut and bagged and disposed of if present. So and it's the same advice.
And that's when I called somebody and supposedly he did that.
So when was this picture taken to get passed around?
Yeah, the picture was just before I wrote the fine. August 11th.
Maybe your issues with the landscaper actually.
Yep.
They're just taking your money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. But he did spray. He did spray and he did cut.
When did he spray?
It was late.
When we met on the lot at the time, it was cut and sprayed.
So when we met, the seeds had fallen off.
Yeah.
And remember, that's where I took these other pictures where the seeds are mature and in my hand. If you want, I can pass this one around too.
That's fine.
It's just mature seeds in my hand.
We noticed that.
August 11th, that's gone.
What I had remember it happened with that, at least from my, what I saw was I had driven by the day before. It was all still dry, standing, dropping seed. At the end of the day when I was heading home, because I was still my route home, I noticed he was out there trimming things down the day before that we were set to go out and meet, so, yeah.
Doing a good job of thrashing it out for him, huh?
And that's where, if you remember, I was picking it up off the ground, mm-hmm. and I was showing you, like, he cut some down, but it's knocked down and it's all over the ground, so unless he's going back and picking up little seeds, that it's not going to work.
Okay. Lisa, you had something else?
No, I don't know. I think most of the trouble is coming, like, I feel like you have better plans going forward. This is just me. You all can have different opinions. I think it would be okay to not have the fine this year, but then if the herbicide's not applied twice next year according to your continued plans, and just to have like the full fine of $500 per parcel per invasive plant.
Yeah, I'm willing to work with whatever it takes. I mean, it just, like I said, in the past my other partner was dealing with it. This year I just came on and I don't know what to do. And I tried to call people and that's what happened.
Okay.
Any other thoughts?
I could lean towards what Lisa's saying. If we put in there that if it's not controlled next year, we're not talking just one parcel, we're talking all three parcels, mm-hmm. three fines, and we're going forward with that. Yeah. I could lean that way, but yeah, it's up to you two or you three. Yeah.
Okay.
So for clarification, my understanding is that per the law, if you were, let's say you were to waive and move that forward, is that what the law states is it's $500 per species, per plot, per day until it's occupied. Now, are you recommending that we follow the law specifically as the RCW's listed, or are you stating that it's a modification of just $500?
Oh, okay. Per, thank you, Rocky. I would go for the $500 per parcel, per species, per day. Okay. Yeah.
Per law, yeah.
Yeah.
Just point of clarification to ensure that.
Thank you.
If there was a consideration of waiving this fee this year, the expectation for next year is clear to everyone in this room and on the record.
Yeah. Okay.
That means spraying it twice.
Well, you may have to spray it even more than that. Yes.
Right.
You
know? Right.
Yeah. Twice is the minimum. Twice is the minimum. So, yeah.
Justin, would a land management plan be appropriate in this setting,
mm-hmm.
So that you could come to the terms of the agreement,
mm-hmm.
With the owner, and then both parties could sign off on it.
Yeah, we find it helpful to have stuff in writing.
So then the expectations
could refer to
are
that
clear
at any time.
It's not easy. No, it's not. Sorry.
I mean, this is a
one comment
serious problem.
One comment that I got is when he is planning to do the application, could he get a hold of here at the weed board and say we're going to be doing it tomorrow, so that he could have somebody there inspect it,
mm-hmm.
That he is complying,
mm-hmm.
that your contractor is complying, and then possibly if it happened and notice a regrowth, then turn around and send him a letter that it needs to be sprayed again. And this is part of that policy that you're talking about right now, so that everybody is communicating on the same page and you can prove that you're doing it and putting an application on under their direction.
Okay.
So that we don't have another infraction.
Yes.
Yeah, and I know for us, it's always helpful to know when work like this is being done. We've had a few landowners do that as well, and, you know, we can definitely go back and see, yes, it was done, or here's a modification that needs to happen to what's being done. So, if you wish to, let us know that, we can definitely...
I mean, we can be there at the same time, yes.
Yeah, we can double check and make sure, so...
Yeah, because you know what? I can spray it, and, it comes back again and again and again. It's a serious issue.
Yep. And it has to be done at the right time, too. Like, there's some, you can spray them, and if they've already flowered and started growing the seed, it doesn't do anything. Yes. You've just wasted your money, and the problem's not been helped at all.
It's a lot cheaper just to pave the whole thing.
Could be.
That'll work, too.
You talk like you have all spring to do it.
Right.
It's not going to flower until August.
Well, it'll flower depending on the year and how much sun versus how much rain. It could start flowering in June, but we have quite a while actually before the flowers fade and we start forming the seeds. So if you're out there in March and you're spraying it before it even grows upright, you're getting ahead, I mean, that's less spray overall. If you're out in June and you see what has grown vertical, then you're making sure you don't miss any. But if you're out in July, now you're at the point where, yes, you definitely need to cut down. And that's why we get ahead of it. And it says back in May that if any are already making seeds and the flowers have fallen off, then that's when you have to cut them back.
Mm-hmm. Justin, I'm not familiar with poison hemlock. It's not something that I deal with a lot. Is it a simple annual? It's not a biannual.
It is a biannual, but usually what we find is that the first year, it's easy to miss.
Oh, okay.
So the second year is when it gets especially bushy, very large. It can get, 4 and 5 feet in diameter.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like very ferny looking, except for the purple spots. And then, like I say, later on that year is when it really just pushes to make flowers and go to seed as soon as it can. But it takes a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if it's a biannual and you go in there and you spray and you kill the rosette, you can do that and eliminate or reduce the pressure for next year.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's why we've also talked about the fall. Mm-hmm. We've talked about the ones that have just germinated.
Mm-hmm.
If you get good at spotting those, and especially if your ground is bare with no blackberries and you can, walk to all those areas. That's those ones that I was pointing out, mm-hmm. that are small and on the ground. Yeah. If you get good at noticing those, they first start out and look exactly like a carrot because it's in the carrot mm-hmm. family. But if you're not growing carrots, you can get rid of all of those, and then that will reduce your load for next year. You're exhausting that seed bank, Those ones germinate, that clears the way, and then other ones can germinate. You can flush them out faster. That mm-hmm. definitely can help, yeah.
Are you trying to hand spray this 1 acre, or are you bringing in a tractor and spraying? Yeah,
actually hand spray. I'm not doing it myself, but I hire somebody mm-hmm. and most likely you did just hand spray.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Kevin said something about a plan. We can write up a plan?
Yes. Yep, we have done that for others that are interested in that. It's nice because we give a copy to the landowner. They can refer to it year after year, and it's got several different strategies on there.
Okay.
And it helps them remember where the problem is and what it looks like. Yeah.
So what I'm hearing from the board is that we set aside the $500 fine for this year, or eliminate it, however that wording needs to be for the mm-hmm. county. Mm-hmm. And then we write up the plan, we get both of us to sign it, and in that plan it says that we will be fining $500 or per law, as Rocky mentioned,
mm-hmm.
per parcel, per weed, per... It's going to get big time then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
That work?
As long as I can call you guys and say, yeah, we sprayed it, can you... Just see what we did.
Well,
that's what we're here for. Yeah. I'm
not sure that's part of the plan. It's that you need to take care of it.
Yes, and we will. Yes, since I'm taking over, I will do that.
Yep, that's what I'm hearing.
Yes.
So. Anything else from?
Sounds like it needs to be boom sprayed rather than spot sprayed.
Yeah, really.
Saturate sprayed something?
Yeah.
How do you get that?
Either boom sprayed or fan sprayed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Fan is so much better than boom around trees or around buildings.
Commercial.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, but if you fan spray it, you can get on the side of the old house and around
house
the edges.
Be demolished anyway.
Where you can't get with them.
Well.
Mm-hmm. So do you have any phone numbers of anybody that can do that?
Oh, they've got contractors on our list.
Yeah,
have lots of availability right now.
Yes,
really. When you're calling is the worst time to call, yeah. And that's what happens. Yeah, they get backed up in the peak season. But right now they've got lots of availability. So if you want to get them kind of
on
retainer,
the calendar,
then schedule it out. Yeah, then
when do you think March?
Well, now would be a good time. Any time would be a good time to get on their list. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. For March, I mean
late March, April.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You can always adjust for the weather.
Exactly.
I sprayed in May last year. Mm-hmm. I sprayed a field 3.5 acres, and we had some hemlock on the outsides of it. And then I got a letter that I had. I don't know whether it's you or not. No, I just did that. But I got a letter that I had some hemlock. Part of it was on a city right away. It wasn't mine. It was next to a telephone pole. Now you know where the spot is. But if you would have looked off in the distance, I went down there and I've tried finding it here right now. I had tall ones I sprayed in May, and they were tall and they were dead. They were just snags off in the distance next to the freeway. But they were snags there. At the same time, you saw the other little ones up front, which weren't there before. Mm-hmm. So they were regrowth, and they were like in July, and I hadn't paid attention. We were doing construction work there. So they do come up later, but I had done control earlier, but I didn't control everything. I tell it like it is.
Yeah.
So all of this would be part of that plan, and probably the applicators will probably be listed again, part of the plan, just throw them on there. Yeah.
Yep.
Can you spray it with a pre-emergent, or it's got to be coming up?
No, I would recommend a pre-emergent for those areas where it's, I mean, there's no desirable plants there right now. It just has cleared blackberry, so there's really nothing that would get hurt from that. And then in that case, you're probably getting ahead and reducing your workload on what's going to germinate.
Mm-hmm.
For the life of that, you know, residual action.
Yeah. So, Justin, included in this whole deal or in the motion or whatever is the understanding that it's next year it's talking about all three parcels, $500 on all each one, and $500 a day. Yeah. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And that'll all be written up in that plan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So do we want to, let's see, I suppose we ought to have a vote on it.
Yeah.
For record then.
Yeah.
So everybody understands that the weed board or Justin will write up the plan. It'll be signed by both sides, and it'll specify that it needs to be controlled. That's your obligation, whatever. I don't care if you pave it or spray it. That's up to you, and it'll all be listed in the plan. And then per law, it'll be $500 per weed, per lot, per day. So it's going to get really expensive really fast next year in 24 and from then on.
Yeah.
Is that okay on that?
Yeah.
Right? So that would be the motion. Then it'd need a second.
I'll second it.
Okay. Yeah. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same?
Aye.
Okay. We have four and one against. We're all set. Okay. Thank you for your time.
Well, thank you for listening to me.
Good luck on next year.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll be able to take care of it.
Yes, hopefully.
Between the three lots, how much acreage are you talking?
Oh, just an acre and a half, a little over an acre.
On the one lot or the, all three?
All three together.
All three, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And one part is paved.
Okay.
The other part, the back part is a problem.
Okay.
And you know, around the house, we're gonna demolish that house anyway, so.
Well, and once the plan is written up, you can use that when you call your, whatever contractors you're trying to reach out to.
And I'm trying to call somebody like you said. Now that everybody's available, I can schedule.
And the list is available anytime from them, so.
Yeah, I'd like to use somebody that knows what they're doing.
Call early.
Yep. Okay, and you're welcome to stay for the rest of the meeting or free to.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for your time.
Okay.
Okay, I guess it's up to you now.
To the updates.
Yep.
Wanted to provide some, just a brief recap of outreach that we've been doing. The Clark County Fair, oh yes?
Can I have a quick question about the other place that you said that they had abandoned the property before they got the notice? When were they notified?
Yeah, that's a good question. It has been an ongoing issue with them for years.
Before 2017?
What's that?
Was it before 2017?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
All right, that's.
But it has, yeah, but it has been at least 3 years that we've been getting to the end of the enforcement process and saying, what can you do? And they used to say to us that they legally couldn't enter the property, that it was getting foreclosed on, I think, or there was legal issues.
I cyber-stalked them. They declared bankruptcy in 2017.
This is TOC.
Right, yes.
Yeah. Okay. They're abandoning the property.
Yeah.
I was making like if you started like as long as this is
2016.
If it was as long as this one, then they still would have to take care of it. But if it was before, if it was after then I was just making sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what was in question was the plants that are going to seed this year. Mm-hmm. I think that's the whole deal, and they were notified earlier in the year. But at the point where I wrote the fine, and I think even the violation letter, but that was after they had already legally had the property transfer. So it wasn't actually theirs. They legally had abandoned it.
Okay. So next person's problem.
Right. Right. And I think actually we probably should have a vote on that too, because in that case, we're trying to determine whether or not the civil infraction occurred. What you've all just done was a hearing on what to do about the fine, where he admitted that yes, you know, the plants did go to seed, but he did everything he could.
Yeah.
Or whatever his defense was. But in the case of TOC, the board would need to decide whether or not the infraction technically occurred, because you would be answering, were they the landowner at the time when I wrote the infraction? And we had never actually encountered this issue before, where somebody had legally abandoned the property. When I look it up in our county assessor computer, it still has them listed as the legal landowner. So the assessor is a little behind, which, you know, is how things go. So I wrote the infraction saying, yeah, you know, they let the thing go to seed. But, you know, come to find out that they had legally abandoned it. So their lawyer had sent over the documents with the dates showing that the date that I wrote the infraction was after the date of them legally abandoning the property.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So you need
Yeah, I think the procedure is the board needs to vote to find that the civil infraction didn't happen. If the person comes to the weed board hearing and says, this didn't happen, it's not my property, or, you know, it's not on my property, it's on the neighbor's property, or whatever, then the procedure there is, did the infraction happen or not?
Yeah.
Versus if they essentially, you know, plead guilty or something like that.
Justin, I'm confused a little bit here. Mm-hmm. Are we talking about a different piece of property?
Yes.
Or different
TOC Holdings. Yeah. Huh? Lisa brought up the property owned by TOC Holdings. It's between St. James and St. John.
Okay.
South of Minnehaha. By a bit, actually. And the property has had knotweed. It's had poison hemlock. It's definitely been on our radar for a while now. Yeah, several years.
St. James and St. John's, how far south of Minnehaha?
You know where they join back together again?
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's most of the way to there.
Oh, okay, okay.
Just a little bit north.
Boy, everything's residential on the, you know,
yeah,
okay.
It is.
All right,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so there's a little gas station, and there's a little tiny bit of commercial stuff towards
okay.
the south there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I could find the cross street, but it's most.
So that's the one they've abandoned the property, and they're saying that it's not their responsibility anymore, huh?
Yes. And
correct.
Legally, they have done so, and yes. Legally, the paperwork has gone through. It's just our assessor didn't
well,
show that.
Well, somebody owns the property. I mean, it's you know, so it's kind of.
It'll be county.
County.
Yeah. They're mm-hmm. abandoning it to the county, not to the bank or. Or anything there, yeah.
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 Get out there, bold
old lady. I know. Was that why yeah. you shook your head earlier?
As soon as it shows up in our inventory, it'll uh-huh. be a property that we visit, but it isn't in our inventory
okay.
yet. So the paperwork's taking some time to mm-hmm. go through the process.
Somebody,
yes.
Yeah. Somebody else around this table is guilty.
Yeah. Somebody gets the infraction, yeah.
Okay, so following that, how about you state the motion for me?
Sure. The motion would be in the format that the civil infraction written for TOC Holdings did not, in fact, take place.
Okay.
Okay.
Straightens it out for me a little bit.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
Right.
Any other discussion on TOC Holdings?
I think it's technically called voiding. The infraction.
Voiding the infraction.
Yeah.
Okay. So we will avoid that infraction. Okay.
It's not waiving the fine or anything like that. It's technically just saying this infraction didn't take place.
Mm-hmm. Didn't take place. Okay. Okay. We have a motion and a second. No discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same. Thank you. Okay. Thanks, Lisa. All right.
Okay.
Back to updates.
Yeah, so the updates. The county fair, I felt like, was a big success. And same with the Home and Garden Idea Fair. Aside from that, we continue to have a lot of phone calls, even later on into the year, although it's definitely trailed off a lot in the fall, that we provide help to people who are asking for help and want to know, you know, for instance, Italian arum, I've had several calls about, and it's just a plant that's very hard to get rid of.
Which one? I missed that.
Italian arum.
Oh.
Yeah. It's also called Lords and Ladies. If you think of a calla lily.
Okay.
But
right.
It's much shorter. The leaves are spade shaped and really heavily variegated, so it's got white veins that are really big and prominent. Kind of think of like milk thistle, but spade-shaped leaves. It's in the family with calla lilies, arum family. It's toxic, so the sap, milky sap, if you get it on your hands, it's bad news. It'll cause irritation. And it's got a very showy red, I believe the technical term is calyx, the sheath that goes around like a calla lily. So
okay.
that
mm-hmm.
white on a calla lily is actually red for this one. And people love it, you know. It's got bright berries, you know, that are formed later on. It's just, it's bad news, yeah. And in San Juan County, actually, they covered over it as part of a test with big heavy tarps and things like that, and they found that increased the problem.
The plants, seriously?
Yeah, the plants were able to completely weather that storm. They have tuberous little corms, essentially, and those roots that are round, ball-shaped, can be the size of a pea or smaller, or they can get up, you know, more like a golf ball. And once they are established,
I'm looking at, and I have some.
It's very, very, very hard to get rid of.
Chickens.
Yeah.
Chickens get rid of it. My sister had these in her yard, and she had chickens, and she hasn't had the chickens for a year, and they're still gone.
Oh, that's good.
All of it.
Yeah, that's great.
Didn't kill the chickens, huh?
No, they were still alive.
That's great.
I ate the eggs. I didn't die either.
That's fantastic. I'll have to remember that. I've had it at my house too, and I probably did something similar to the chickens. I was sifting through the soil and just getting every little pea-sized tuber and keeping them away from my kids since they're toxic, and then just smashing them, getting rid of them.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Which wasn't easy because there was a lot of pea gravel in this area, so.
Hard to smash.
Very
that.
Detailed job.
If it's a tuber or anything corn that way or anything, would Sandia be effective on it?
There are very few herbicides that are effective.
Mm-hmm. I know Sandia we use on nutsedge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so along the same line and stuff, but yeah.
Do you know what the active in that one is?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No. I know it by the common name and everything, yeah. So.
Yeah. So there's a couple of different ones that have been tested, and I can tell you glyphosate and triclopyr and aminopyrrolid, all the typical ones that we recommend, are very marginally effective.
Mm-hmm.
It might suppress the top growth, but doesn't do much for them. Not as good as chickens. So the one that showed the most promise of the herbicides was Metsulfuron, I think. I think that was the one that showed the most problems. And I think that's the one that's in Oust.
Oh, okay.
So I could be confusing those. But yeah, there are a few herbicides, and we have some of those. But
Sandia is halosulfuron methyl.
Oh, okay. Yeah, halosulfuron, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so... Maybe so. Yeah.
And Sandia has no effect on grass or any much of anything else. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I hadn't seen any studies on that one.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's so far down the list that you weren't worried about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think this is a problem in the cornfields. So yeah.
Right. But yeah, outreach continues, and we've had a lot of great interactions this year. Pamela, who's on the line with us, I would count as a success story since we reached out to her about the policeman's helmet that was right next to her front door, and spread the word about, you know, how invasive that is, and, you know, that's the genie that the UK really wishes they could put back in the bottle because their waterways are just infested with that one. So a lot of these species that are in the category of early detection, rapid response, where we want to get the word out and just squash, you know, eradicate them in the early stages, when they're first detected and not totally widespread, we're having good success with that. And I think we're getting really dialed in with how we approach the big events too, the fair and the Home and Garden Idea Fair, some of the other things, but mostly those two. We've got really good posters. The giant hogweed poster is always really, really good to get out there. I'm a fan of that. And then for the other civil infractions, I did send you guys that update email. The only thing since then that is pretty noteworthy is that the Dulos have paid their fine in full. So that's another one that is settled, I guess you could call it, for this year. But other than that, there aren't really any of the ones that are settled. We still have the Strunks that are proceeding to lien, essentially. And I know, unless they want to start responding, that's the direction that it, you know, would typically go. So that's that direction.
So that the civil infractions that were paid, were they just a straight $500 civil infraction?
Most of them.
Uh-huh.
But we did have a few that were for garlic mustard. The schedule of fines in the WAC, 16750, states that Class A noxious weeds are at $750.
Okay.
If we were to fine somebody for poison hemlock, and then the next year they don't do anything again, which has happened this year with Providence Patent LLC and their poison hemlock, which they had somebody mow as it had already made seeds and spread it all over their field, against our explicit directions of do not do this, do not do this. So the second subsequent year, the fine goes up. The WAC defines it as going from 500 for a Class B to 750 on the second year. So for Providence, that total came to $1,500 for them this year. We had two other Dulos and City of Camas were both garlic mustard. I think those were the only two others that were Class A, and so hence $750. Otherwise, the Strunks were tansy ragwort, first fine, but many years of subpar control or no control. And
did you say Strunk?
Yes. Yeah. It is. Yeah. Brad and Dean.
Gary.
Yeah. Yep. Thanks. But yes, if you want any other, updates, I can see you grimacing.
Yep.
You probably are otherwise acquainted.
Yes. Very much so.
Yes. Okay. But I can send out more updates on the civil infractions as other stuff happens, if you guys are interested in that one.
Mm-hmm.
Skipping right along, the tansy ragwort signs, control tansy ragwort that we've been putting out, I had a final count for you. This year we put out 29 signs. We were able to retrieve 8.
Oh, shoot.
So that's 21 signs that were lost to a myriad of issues. I think last meeting we brought up the anecdotal, humorous instance where somebody had removed one of our signs and then put it in the driveway of a neighbor or somebody else so that they would be confronted with that
every day when they came home, huh?
Yes.
Control your weeds.
Yes. So that's kind of funny. I don't know. We should set aside some and offer them for that purpose, maybe. Make enemies on them. All that to say, we will be ordering those signs over the winter so that we can distribute them. We get a lot of feedback from people at our fair booth that say, I've seen you guys' signs out, so I appreciate that, and to encourage that association, I put up those road signs at our fair booth so that people can know we are associated with those signs, and encourage that outreach to connect.
Cowlitz County, when you go up I-5, they've got a very noticeable sign, and in some ways I wish we had something along that line is the same way, either on 503 or, you know, 219th or, you know, that's heavily traveled, a more permanent sign that's out there and, you know, look it, do it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, you know, it's like this gentleman here. It isn't just do it 1 month or one time. It's actually a concerted effort year round and stuff. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
That was why my neighbor, he is trying to control it. He's here finding out. And my neighbor was the severity of the fine for next year, even though he's trying it. It all depends on the guy that's out, the individual that's out citing. And I'm not pointing fingers at you, but it could be somebody else. It could be somebody else. And he's trying to control it. And I appreciate that as an individual because I have them same problems. And so I know what a broken arm feels like. I've had one. So
it looks like he needs it. Look into it a little closer. You don't pay $22,000 on an acre.
Well, he had somebody come in with a
hydro-ax. I'd do it for half.
He had hydro-ax and cleaned out the mess in there. But you don't, you still don't pay that much. But
I had a guy look at mine last year, and I was talking 40 acres, and it was only $32,000.
Right.
Yeah.
With
Yeah. Well, to your point, Randy, I do get concerned when a landowner uses the language of, can you find me somebody to do this? Because that's not our job.
Right.
That's not our station. No. I can verify that the contractor has or has not done what they should. And we do provide a list for courtesy, and that's a big help to out-of-state landowners.
I mean, you've basically done your work. If you provide him the list, all he has to do is pick up his phone and call, start down the line and start calling, yeah.
But on that list specifically, we've modified it, and we want to give people the impression that once you've reached the end of this list, that's not the end. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to continue to shake every tree, go around to high schools or whatever you have to do, talk to your neighbor, former landlord's best friend's dog's roommate, whatever you got to do, find somebody, and then once it is controlled, then that's the end. So
there's one of the gentlemen that's been here, and he's an applicator and stuff, and one day during the end of September, whatever, sometime there, he was across the road at the ballpark, and he has quite a machine with boom and one thing and another else, and you know, he could go in there and do what the guy needs done and stuff. So, but you know, you got to get a hold of him, got to get him the chance to get there and everything too. So,
we've modified our letters with all, you know, listening to all of these landowners, and I think we've even changed our reminder letter to say, call these contractors right now. Mm-hmm. You know, don't wait until June because
the day before you need to do it.
Yeah, don't wait. You've got to call them, you know, sooner because the list is not very long.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of people on it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't change that much from year to year.
Yeah.
He seems serious about controlling it though. He has better information and he knows. I doubt that he will do it. I didn't want to punish him for trying and just, you know, lack of knowledge. And I know, like, you give him plenty of knowledge, but you know, sometimes people are very verbal people. They just need to hear it from a person, like, you know, call now, get a schedule now, do it in the spring. You might have to do it more than once.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really don't think it'll come to that. I'm not mean. I just want the basic plans to get taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'll happen.
Mm-hmm. So I'm the opposite. I have no sympathy at all. I'm sorry. I've seen so many times that people just like this, they come in, they buy a piece of farmland, they outbid the farmer that really wanted it or needed it for his operation, and then they sit there and do nothing with the property at all, or just go in there and screw it up. Right now, we've got a piece in behind the ballpark from us, and the guy went in there and has just annihilated this property. And I finally went over there and went and talked to the guy, and I said, what do you think you're doing? He went all summer long with a power harrow and went through this property time and time again. You'd sit there, and from our place, you just see this giant cloud of dust rolling up. and everything, and I went over there, and it's a foot deep of nothing but powder. And anyhow, I'm sitting there going, you know, do you know what you're doing? And that's the trouble, is I see this all the time. Somebody buys a piece of property, and they don't know what they're doing, and they won't go and get advice or whatever. I'm not that sympathetic. I'm just, yeah.
It's
okay. Okay. You're a nice person, Lisa. Maybe I'm not.
Well, I like that you asked him if he had proof of that $22,000. If I was coming to a meeting to argue, I would have brought that.
Yeah. Look, this is what I did. You know, here you go. Yeah. Yeah.
I question.
Well, that's the other problem, too, is when we do have that, when we send letters, we have people email us their receipts proving that they took care of it. While that doesn't prove to us, that paper does not prove to our field inspectors that you took care of it, because we don't know when they sprayed. We don't,
well,
you know.
And was that in relation to that particular parcel or not? Or was that some other parcel or Randy's 40 acres that he...
And this is why I brought up that really what he was addressing with that was the transient issue. Mm-hmm. That's why he spent that money, was right. Because he needed to clear the land. And
yeah.
The species we're after is not land clearing, you know. So it's a red herring, really.
Yeah. I'm positive that most of what he was challenged with was Himalayan blackberries and stuff, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, he's been given the benefit of the doubt. If he doesn't do it, then he'll get hit very hard. And if not, then he's trying to do the right thing, then he'll be fine.
He should be fine, yeah.
Yep.
We've got that
one. But it's good that we were here, because I feel much more confident. We've had similar to this interactions with him in the past. So we get here when those interactions still don't result in the control, but I feel much more confident now that we've been here that we will get what we need.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
More feedback from
him. I think it's pretty clear.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Let's see.
Project position?
Right along. Yep. So some of our employee positions have been converted now, and we've had four new project positions for field technicians in our noxious weeds department. So those positions will, three of them will be working on the control program side to make sure that county properties are taken care of. One of them will be on my side to assist us with all the stuff we need to do in their capability, what they can handle. Because of that, there's still a question about what the budget will be for temporary workers, since that project position will come out of that same budget. So as the numbers become clearer, we'll be able to give more updates as far as how many temporary workers will there be to come over to our side, if there are any. And I'm a strong proponent of having more than one person in a truck to be able to have a driver focused on driving and the assistant focused on using the computer in the truck or on assisting looking out of the truck to find weeds, because you can imagine how hazardous it would be to expect a driver to be looking at all of the weeds as they're driving and going through cul-de-sacs and residential areas doing that same thing. So that budget will be worked out as we go.
Talking about the budget, how is Larch Mountain closing down where you had volunteers before going to hurt us?
Yes, it's definitely already been felt, and it's a shame, because they were by far the best outfit that we had found for pulling tansy. Mm-hmm. And the shift supervisor was great. I mean, I could go right back to him and say, you know what you did last year? It'd be great if you did that again this year. You know, you start off by the fairgrounds and you fan out from there and take the arterials first, you know, get all the county roads starting from there. And they did. They were great. The alternatives are just more expensive for less bags of Tansy Cold. So,
but you wouldn't have access to them now that they're down in Longview, Kelso, or wherever?
I mean, it was already getting more difficult. There were years where they just said, no, we don't have any time. We're on fires only, or, you know, whatever the case was. We're going to seek them out, you know, and if we can get any, then yes, we will snag them up. But I don't know that we can. I don't know that they're going to have capacity.
Well, at least we don't have the homeless camps. You could go and raid those and, you know, and have them come and help you. Yeah, right. Well, anyhow, never mind.
Yeah.
I'm being facetious, and it's terrible when you talk about some of your best workers are the convicts, you know.
So. Oh, if it was me, you know, and I had the chance to spend all day, I like pulling weeds, but like, you know, being out in the sunshine or in a little crappy cell.
Yeah.
And it does get harder when it's road
size. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Moving on to milfoil.
So the grant that we have for variable leaf milfoil, we're done with treatments for this year. We did not get Warren Seeley treated. The blueberry farm didn't budge at all. And next year in the spring becomes the only possibility at this point. We're beyond the treatment window where everything's getting hit by hard frost and everything's, you know, not actively growing. So we did get the other properties treated. They were all much smaller. There's four or five other properties, and one of those actually refused the treatment, and it's now on me to make sure that they do continue, like the landowner at Warren Seeley has been continuing to manually control in the interim. That's a big job to get it done.
Well, the blueberry fields is mainly, they need that for irrigation.
Right. Yep, they have water rights.
So now that they plant their new plants, they planted grass between each one of them in rows. Now why are they watering the grass down when they really need the water for the plants?
I'm scared.
It's brand new. I couldn't believe it the other day.
Are they watering by sprinkler, Randy, or are they watering by drip?
I think they're doing both. It was sprinkler before, but it looks like they put the drip in now.
Yeah, because I don't know, in today's, with blueberries, is I don't know that anybody does sprinklers anymore.
Yeah.
It's everything's drip, yeah.
Yeah, and they cleaned the old ones out, all their PVC pipe went into that, and it got ground up, so yeah. Somebody got some nice stuff.
Sorry, which kind of milfoil is this?
This is variable leaf milfoil.
So it says here that they're changing it to Class A. Don't they have to, even if they are?
So the change actually is the hybrid that is native Western water milfoil has crossed with variable leaf milfoil. So now there's that hybrid. The hybrid is now going to be listed as Class A. So next year, when the state's weed list comes out and is officially adopted, that will be a Class A as well, which clarified our situation in Clark County, since we are the place where it has hybridized and been discovered.
So what is Warren Seeley's?
Warren Seeley's was the pure variable leaf milfoil, and they haven't been in question. They were the first, and we have always been trying to, sounds bad, but this process has taken a long time, but that is the first one that started this whole thing. But like I say, the other four small ponds that are less than an acre in size have all been treated except for the fifth, where they refused. It's a little bit of a strange situation, since their water for their pond comes from a creek where there's a pond where somebody agreed to have us treat their water. So it's just kind of strange. I don't I don't, you know, understand it all, but each person can make those decisions and do the work if they want to do it. So that part of it is drawing to a close for this year, and we'll be looking next spring for Warren Sealy to get treated before they begin the mandatory irrigation. We'll be ready for that this time around.
Does the weather affect treating this very much?
I don't think so, except for the temperature. If the temperature is not warm up enough, has not warmed up enough, then it won't be actively growing. And this year, and actually the year before, we saw it be a little bit delayed as far as when was it really growing well and when could you find it in the areas. So Warren Sealy is pretty much always, you know, there. You can always find it. But we have another big one that's a hybrid site, the Sugawa Brothers Reservoir. They have it's another place where it's about the size of Warren Sealy. So we'll be looking to treat there as well in this coming year.
Justin, one point of clarity. You keep using the term hybridized, and really I don't think it's a hybrid. It's a crossbreed. But anyhow, hybrid means it's from two different species crossing and stuff, like a horse and a donkey versus, you know, that would be like an Arabian and an Appaloosa, you know. So it's a crossbred and everything. Yeah. Sorry to
be a farmer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and since the difference between the native species and the variable leaf is so small, it does seem tenuous.
It is. It's a crossbreed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When it gets listed at the state, they'll be calling it a hybrid. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
And if you guys have any questions about all of those things that I just went over, I'd be happy to answer. Just shoot me an email or call me up and we can go over it. That's all I had for you, though.
Okay. Thank you. Meeting schedule for next year, 2024.
Okay.
Same month, same quarters. So we'll just put them down as those and we can adjust individually from there.
Yep.
Put them in your phones, on your calendar. And we'll go from there. Thank you. Yep.
And thank you for calling.
Yeah. Keeping track of this rowdy board.
Well, when I get a phone call on Friday and I'm going, oh, crap, I remember, yeah.
That must be the public service I got. 9:31?
No, that wasn't me. We talked Friday.
Somebody else is after me.
I don't know who that's from. Okay. You're in trouble with somebody.
Probably the sister.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else from the board?
I've got one thing. Randy showed me a picture on his phone of tansy ragwort.
Yeah.
The tansy that the cinnabar moth ate and killed.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And then it reproduced and flowered up.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Looks fantastic.
Well, I'll tell you, it's taking advantage of it. It's going to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh. Got some healthy moths and then a healthy plant to boot.
Mm. Boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we noticed that in a couple of cases. It made it to the ground. Sprouted really? Back. Really? It was a little bit shorter.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it flowered again.
Flowered right
again. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh. Now, the question is it flowered so late, do you think that it still ended up producing seed? Yeah.
I'm afraid of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. See you, Rocky.
But that's in this case, it's been so late.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're weeds. They're hard to get rid of. Yeah,
that's
they're
for
doing
sure.
Everything they can do. Yeah.
Oh yeah, but at the same time, a lot of what we you know, like lamb's quarter is what is it called?
Lamb's quarter.
Well, we call it lamb's quarter. Pigweed is amaranth, but what's the food that they make out of it? The seed from lamb's quarter is anyhow, yeah, we call pigweed you know, or they call it amaranth, and use it as a salad.
Safflower? Is it safflower?
No. I'll bet you Lisa's looking it up.
Yeah.
It's, but anyhow, so, you know, and we went to a deal one time, chickweed, and this woman harvests it at the Seattle market and sells it, and it's got another name, but it's a salad green and stuff. So, you know, you pick up on some of those and stuff, So, we may call it a weed or whatever, but others call it, you know, food.
Edible.
So, anyhow. And sometimes you end up with desirable characteristics. There's where your hybridization or crossbreeding comes in, is we end up with desirable characteristics from some of them. And, you know, that's Oregon State. We're always, when we go down to the horticulture conference, they're always pulling up the old Himalayan blackberries to use as genetic, you know, material for the new blackberries they're coming up with. So, so, anyhow.
Oh, can I tell about the invasive species cook-off?
Oh, yeah.
I found the funnest thing. They have down in Oregon, I can't remember the name of the city, but they have a college that does an invasive species cook-off. And they prepare, like, obviously blackberry stuff, but they have like wild turkey and boar. Yeah, it was yummy.
Zebra mussels.
They have an amateur competition where people can like just bring their own invasive dishes, and there was somebody who made like a nutria bake, and I didn't try that.
Nutria,
that
was hard
as heck, but
wow.
I'm like.
Did they have wild boar from here in Oregon or Washington, or do you know, or did they have to go elsewhere to go get wild boar?
I don't know. I didn't ask. That's a good question.
Yes.
I know it's rampant in Texas. There's
everywhere.
California.
Other places in central and eastern Oregon too, that they've had a little bit of an issue.
With wild boar?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they have some places have issues with wild turkeys too. That take over the town.
You mentioned the signage over there by Bend. You some of those highways up there. They got nice metal signs.
Oh, wow.
Weed control board. It's there all year long. So, people are seeing that all the time.
Okay, we're starting to meander a little bit, but
ours looks like a political sign.
Yeah, that's the only thing I don't. Or you know, for siding, you know, as Tansy Ragworth siding, you know, and everything, you know.
Well, this year you see some of them around 20 political signs. So, which one am I going to read here?
Yeah,
waiting for Tansy Ragworth this year. So my other news is this is my last meeting for a while. I've got to leave for about 2 years for Army stuff. So.
Getting drafted?
No, just training. So I'm going from Oklahoma to California to Texas. Maybe I'll catch me a boar.
Pulling an M16 on one.
Well, thank you for all your time.
Lisa, thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I don't know if there's a space for me when I get home. There's not going to be a space for me. But I'd love to be on the board again. It's been really fun. I've learned all about aquatic invasive plants, and hopefully I've been able to do something helpful. Person present to vote and stuff. So
You couldn't continue your position on the board and remotely from Oklahoma?
No.
They don't have
that one. I won't even be able to have my phone. So not even virtually. And then the California training is learning Mandarin Chinese. So like you can't miss anything, or you fall very behind. It's crazy.
You're a language specialist?
Yeah.
That's cool.
We hired a guy for Pumpkin Patch that was, he was during Korea. He was a language specialist in Chinese and stuff.
It's a tough one.
But thank you for all your time.
Appreciate it. Before Chris runs out of tape, I'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting and we can visit or whatever. All right. Thank you.